The last couple of weeks, the last two shiurim, we focused on this big, big, big sugya, this intertwining of so many different pieces about all the issues of Jewish participation. What do you do when you have Bishul Yisrael v'Nachir, Shtatvis Yisrael? Big machlokas. So we show how to pull the pieces together, the Rambam and the Ramah, against the Rashba. So that was even Shulchan Aruch. That was even Vav Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud. Those five Seifim. The next topic, if Yud Aleph, is fundamentally unrelated to the questions of how much Jewish participation do you need, but it is rooted in the Braisa that we quoted. We remember the Baal Lama Ches and Aleph. The Chesam, if you remember, was the cases of where the Jew begins and then the non-Jew joins the Bishul afterwards. And Rabbi Yehuda quoted from Shmuel that Miniach Yisrael Basagav Gachalim, it's going to be mutter even if the Nachri is subsequently Mahapech B'Bas. The Gemara goes on the bottom. The Gemara initially gave two limitations. Number one, that it's only mutter if what the Yisrael did would have been adequate alone, put in a place where at least eventually would have cooked. And then number two was the comment the Gemara made based on Rabbi Yochanan, that if it was removed, the Jew put it on, but it was nostalgic, and then returned, then the Nachir puts it back on, so then it's not so pasha. It depends whether it got to Machal Ben Jusai before it was removed. Okay. Then the Gemara comes back to Shmuel. The Gemara says it's not only Shmuel who is an early Amora, it's actually even earlier. It's from the Tanan. Tanya Namihachi, three lines to the bottom of Chesam Aleph. Tanya Namihachi, you even have a brisa that says, Menech Yisrael Basa Gabi Gichalim, Ba'akum Mahapech Bar Shavi Yisrael, Beis HaKnes Beis HaMedrash. Ve'en HaChoshish, the Jew can put the meat in the fire, the Nachar can come by and turn the meat, while the Yisrael is off at the Beis Medrash, Yisrael is off at Shul, so he can have a Nachri watch the meat meanwhile and turn and make sure it doesn't burn. The Eino Choshesh is not worried. In the other case, with the Kedera. A Jewish woman has a Kedera on the fire, and she leaves to, our gear says, she leaves to go to the Beis HaMerchot, the Beis HaKnesses. Look at some of the Chachmei Sfarad. They either have Beis HaMerchot alone or Beis HaMerchot in the Shuk. So point that last time, interesting historical significance. The halachic significance is, once again, that the Jewish woman leaves, wherever it is that she's going, but she's gone, and the Nachris is minding the pot, the Eina Choshesh. So the Rashba, Rabbi Nachmanah. Rabbi Nachmanah and the Rashba. Rabbi Nachmanah, a very, very brief comment of Rabbi Nachmanah here, in the margin, near the bottom. He, like the Rambam after him, is a very brief presentation of the sugya. I don't want to go back into that. But sugya the Shmaita, he doesn't have all the details. Some of the details, not other details. Being the last line of Am Chesam Alf. Tanya Meniach Yisrael Basar Gabi Gichal Ba Akum Hapif Ba Ad Shevo Beis Hachnes Beis Hamedrash Ve'en HaChoshesh Hani Mili Yerichan Alad Deleka Chashash Dil Machal. This heter is only if it's Bechai Gab, in such a case that you're not worried that the Nachim may have swapped the kosher steak that you put on the grill for a different trefa steak. So the Chanal is qualifying the Gemara's, the Bryce's heter. So it has to be the Chai Gavna that we're not worried. And how would that be? So at least our version of the Chanal, he doesn't say it explicitly, but the Rosh quotes of the Chanal here in similar ways, and the Rosh as well in the Torah Sabbais here at the end of Shagimol. And they say, oh, what's the scenario in which there's no concern of chilufe? Either there's a shomer, someone's watching, which either means someone, the Yisrael goes off to the Beis Hamerchus, to the Beis Haknesses, to the Shef Tarev, and you leave the Nachri Shef, and the Jewish chef leaves, so he leaves a Nachri Shef, minding the meat, minding the pot. But there's some other Jew, maybe he's not a chef, he's actually in charge of handling the food, you leave him in charge to watch to make sure. Or it means Yosef Nichnas, which is interesting, because that perhaps would explain why the Braisa gave cases. Why do we have to talk about Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaMedrash? It's a matter. He left, he comes back. Why do we make it? It's historically intriguing. Why did the Braisa bother to give me that extra color? So it could be, what Nechanal is alluding to, because you're not so far. You tell the Nachri, I'll be back in a couple minutes. So I have to go down with him. Want to look up something to say if I'll be back. And again, indeed, is Beis HaMedrash short or is Beis HaMedrash long? Is Beis HaKnesses short? Is the Shuk short or Shuk long? Merchatz. The first crack of Shabbos, he sends it off on the trip to the Merchatz. It can be lengthy. But again, it means I'm not traveling to a different town. I'm just taking from the Nachri's perspective, we're going to take care of an errand in town, and he may well not be aware of how long or short it's going to be. So that's one way that the Rashba and the Rush explain Ben Chanal. Either I'm not worried about Chulufi because of some sort of Shomer, either I left a Jewish Shomer watching, or I myself. Or the Rosh says, you shut the door. He's in the house. No one else is in the house. There's no other food in there. There's no tray for meat in the house. I know he can't leave. So I'm not worried. There is no tray for meat that he could swap out, and he can't leave the house. So that's why I'm not concerned. Now, what this Rebbe Chanal is making an important point. That's not really Hilchos Bishalakim. That's a shocking point. That's in the cooking test. That's the questions of general kashrus of ingredients. But Rebbe Chanal also gets you thinking about is the language of the Braisa. This is something that the Rashba picks up on. What is the language of the Braisa? Let's take a look at Niyach Yisrael Basa Gavi Gacholim. The Jew can put the meat on the grill, and then the Nachri comes and takes the Nachri chef comes and takes over. Where he's going to spot the Jew while the Jew goes to daven mincha, while the Jew goes to learn. Could have stopped there. The Braisa added two words. And you're not concerned. Not concerned. So Rebbe Chananel is not explaining it. Rebbe Chananel is highlighting. He said, "Well, you should be choshev for something else." Right? This is only true when you're not. This is only true if b'chagavna is such a case that you're actually not choshev for chalufa. So, which gets you thinking: what does the Braisa mean when it says ve'eino choshev? What does the Braisa say? So that's what the Rashba picks up on, and the Gra. The Gra highlights this in Shulchan Aruch. So the Rashba in the Taras Habayi is here at the bottom of Sadi Heim and Aleph in the classical print. So he says, you know what you do see from the Braisa. Not only a din that the Hipoch HaNachri does an Aser if the Yisrael they put on the fire, as Shmuel said, the Braisa is at another angle also. The Eino Choshesh means that you're not worried, you're not watching. So forget about swapping out the meat. Right? So remember, the Mishonim had said, either you have some sort of shmira, or there's no shmira, but just there's no other meat around. There is no other meat you can swap out. The other meat you can swap out, what he could have done is taken it off the fire and then put it back on. Right? And that was what the Gemara had said from Yerushalayim. You know? If you took it off and put it back on, so that way it's not so partial that it's mutter. It's only mutter if it came off and went back on after Macha Ben Drusoy. If it came off before Macha Ben Drusoy, I mean, the Baisha didn't say that you waited for Macha Ben Drusoy to leave. So that's interesting. So why are you assuming it's mutter? That's the Ve'ena Choshesh. Not only I know he'd be Mahapach, the Hipoch does an Aser, but also I'm not, Shmuel, but also Al Shub Yochanan, I'm not concerned, Ve'ena Choshesh, you're not worried that maybe he was Masalik. If I didn't put him in the contract, I don't do that. Rashba says, Taka, why not? Rashba says because Suffolk is mutter. Suffolk is mutter. I said, look, that's a simple reading of the Brisa. Brisa didn't specify he left someone to watch.
Because I can still come back after you and get my stuff.
And there are other ways to deal with chilufe that don't deal with. You can ensure that he wouldn't have swapped the meat without knowing he didn't just pick it up. Especially he's flipping. It's not unlikely that he, of course, the flipping ends up taking away from the heat for a moment. But you're not worried about that. So he says, Taka, why not? Why are we making all this suffering? So he says two things.
This way. So
that's weird. Rashba says number one and number two. Rashba says number one, suffer ban lakam. There's lakam, it's in Darabon. Even the Rashba.
Why?
As we had seen over the course of the last couple weeks. The big machlokes Rashba with countless naftalinas, and maybe last week, machlokes Rashba Ramba. Rashba is the machlokes. The other Rashba sees the Bishul Akim as a full, typical Din Rabbanan, Machal Sesuris Rabbanan, but still, it is only Rabbanan. It's a full, normal Rabbanan. It's not a particularly weak Rabbanan. It's a regular Rabbanan, but even a regular Rabbanan is Safer Ban Lakam. That's number one. Then the Rashba says another Svara. He says, why would he have removed it? What does he gain by removing it? In other words, Chilufe, the Rebbeinu Hananel's concern, there's an understandable motivation. Maybe he liked my piece of meat. He took a different, lower grade piece of meat and put that in place. I shouldn't realize that he's stealing my better piece of meat. Or stop, he was hungry. So he went to, he ate what I gave him, and then he went and got something else. There could be reasons why he might be motivated to swap. But there's no motivation, he has no gain, no ulterior motive to lift it off the fire and put it back on. So if he knows I want, presumably I explained to him what my expectations are, he knows I expect him to leave on the fire, there's no reason that he would not have. So that's what the Rashba says. That you see from our Gemara, you see from specifically from the Brisa, that Safik is mutter, and Safik is mutter for one of two reasons. Either because Safik on Lakel, number one. Number two, Lamalei, he has no reason to be Masalik. Why would he be Masalik?
Isn't it even a Sfek Sfeika?
Yeah, why?
Suffolk if you take it off or not. And even if you did, Suffolk if it was Malcolm and Yerushalayim.
Yeah, that's a good question. Say Sfek Sfeika, maybe he wasn't a Masalik at all. If he was a Masalik, maybe it was after Malcolm and Yerushalayim.
That's like the way the Shulchan Aruch is reading. Because the Shulchan Aruch puts in both concepts.
Yeah, so we have to deal with that. We have to think about the two reasons. But first, the question of should it be a Sfek Sfeika? We're in Yoredei, we're just a couple of simanim after discussion of Sfek Sfeika, end of Tarovas. So one of the big concepts in Sfek Sfeika is we usually assume that part of the definition of Sfek Sfeika is it has to be Mishnei Shemos, not Mishnei Mechah. That means there have to be two independent variables that either of which could have made it mutter. Here, it's not collapsible to one question. If I say, well, maybe I only took it 1 foot, not 2 feet. Maybe I took it 1.5 feet, not 2 feet. So it's true that both 1 and 1.5 are two, but that's a Sfek Sfeika Mishnei Mechah. That really collapses into one. So here, taking off after Machlokes Ben Drusai is irrelevant. The question really is, during the first X number of minutes, did it come off or not? You would say, well, maybe he thought about taking it off. Maybe he didn't think about taking it off. If he thought about taking it off, maybe did he take it off, did he not take it off. Right? So that, that once again is another, a little slightly more obvious, Sex fake and shame after. I think it would only be a chatz fake. I think it would only be a chatz fake.
Don't say the shemach is coming from me, the seventh.
If I know it came off at some point, that might be, but I don't know when. So that's when the question wasn't before or after. That's when it become relevant. If you look in the later Rishonim, the generation after the Rashba, so the tour, I believe, only quotes the rationale of Suffolk Dervei Makom. Yes, if you're off the tour, he quotes in Choshen Shem Asilko the Suffolk Dervei Makom. And then the new tour, they tell you, if you want to, if you look at where in Shav, we all know the rule, where does it come from? Erevin and Memhan base. Shine. So the tour just quotes the first rationale, Sabra and Lakel. The Ritva only quotes the second rationale, that Lamale le Saluki.
More secure than that. But if you know, my attention is actually. Why should you have that security? You know, I sell you a land.
So, yeah, and the question is, it's part of the question you wonder about. You begin to think about, so why are you giving two reasons? Why are you giving two reasons? And it becomes sharp when you look in Shulchan Aruch. As you point out, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, so a couple of things jump out at you.
A lien, whatever. Something's not right. So now, I may or may not have money.
You look in Shulchan Aruch, as if you're Aleph. Let's see. The Mechabah, the Ramah, the Nosa Kalim, the Sifri Alf is brief, but very few, the eyes are open, very, very rich. Clearly very relevant to Halacha. The question of Safik Bishal Akam is going to come up repeatedly. There'll be plenty of scenarios. As a matter of fact, we already had it earlier in the Siman, as we're about to see reference.
You made more than $1,200, you get $200.
I mean, without making a star.
You get a better star. Without a star. I sell you a piece of
land. So let's take a look, Shulchan Aruch. Sif Yudal. Iniach Yisrael W.H. Iniach HaAkam L'Shamra. The Hafachba. So Yisrael puts the meal in the fire. Leaves the Nachri in charge. L'Shamra means that he's making sure it's not going to burn. And he's making sure it's not going to. Yeah, he's making sure it's not going to burn. And he needs to make sure to flip it. And you do it. The Yisrael walks off. And you do him silka akam ashtol gim lacha ben jusai. So they ushers your point. He sits in davka. Question: was he misalka during the minutes between when the Yisrael left him and got the lacha ben jusai? Okay, straightforward. The mechaber himself does not explain at all why it's mutter. He just gives a psak. You see that it's mutter. Okay. You see that it's mutter. The Gron Sivkan Chavav. He highlights that diak we had before. The Gron Sivkan Chavav. Midarina meniyas v'chulei. The ain choshesh. Alma de lo chayshin elav. You see what that choshesh is. I believe, you can't prove it, but I believe that the Gron highlighting specifically that term out that exodus you pointed before that phrase the ain choshesh. It seems redundant. It seems odd unless. How good the Bryce is saying, and don't worry about what happened while you were gone from a Bishul Akim perspective. You don't have to worry that there was a Sila. By the way, as an aside, just to swing back to the interplay, the previous Sugya feeds into Safed Ral Haka. But according to this Gra, we have a two-way street. Because based on this, the Eino Choshesh is a tip of the hat to the Rabbi Yochanan piece of the sugya. In other words, according to the Graz Diak, the Bryce, the Bryce is a Taina Mihachi to which Amora. So we just thought it was Shmuel. It's Shmuel, but it's also Rabbi Yochanan. Because if Eino Choshesh implies, what would you have been worried about? You would be worried, wait, the Jubrei put it on. So from a Shmuel perspective, we're done. Obviously, there could have been a concern of Sila. So the Bryce says Beferish like Shmuel that Meniach Yisrael then came Mutti even if the Nach is Mahapik. And the Bryce is also Meramis to Rabbi Yochanan that Sila could potentially be a problem. But we're not worried about such a Sila. There exists at least some Silukim which do create an issue, but we're not worried. It ties back in. But in any case, So we're coming back to Sifri Aleph. So that's the Graz. Okay, that's the Mechaber. The Ramah says two things. The Safek Devrei Mahakel. Why Safek Mutar? Because it's Safek Ramah. And the parenthesis will tell you it's a tour. It is a tour, but that's originally Rashba. Then the Ramah adds the chen kol safik bishulei akum v'chayotzei bo mutar. And so is the case for any bishul akum or other similar things. Right? They're all.
You know, since I'm that's not the case. In other words, so you he always takes the field as is.
He takes the field as is. And you can't go ahead and say $100
what?
Because the Mechaber agreed to that.
Right.
Comment.
But like Tana.
Yeah.
So
the Ramah does not present himself as disagree. Didn't say V.A. Shomer.
Right.
And that it isn't even a haga, the term Hagah. It just flows. Right. So Ramah is not presenting himself as disputing the Mechaber. But you do wonder. What's Ramah adding? So it's like Ramah Lahaka, okay. What's he adding? Why do you just stop at that point? You want to know what the reason is? So he quotes like the Torah of Ramah Lahaka. The Chayin Kol Safek Dishal Hakam.
He doesn't take the Shabbat back from the Baal Chov. Yeah, that's true. Right? That's true.
What's being added? So now we take a look at the Taz. The Shach does not comment the Ramah. The Shach comments on the Mechaber. Shach quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, that you have to make sure there's no chiluf, eh? Okay, and he tells you where to look, for more the dinim of what safeguards you need in place, so on and so forth, to know there was no chiluf. The Ramah comments, excuse me, Taz, rather, comments on the Ramah. What does he say? Chen kol safek, peirush, interesting term, peirush, let me give you a peirush in the Ramah, she yesh safek im chita Yisrael ba'ur, oh, lo. What's the peirush in the Ramah? What's the Ramah driving at? Other sveikos. Oh, for instance, I don't know whether Yisrael was machata ba'ur. I don't know whether Yisrael poked the fire. Meaning, so what's the first half of that case? Meaning, the nachri put the food on the fire. If the Yisrael poked the coals, so then it's more. If it didn't poke the coals, it's going to be awesome. Where did we have this before?
Okay, so,
what's
so,
he being mitzayin to?
Okay, you're saying the same thing.
This Taz is reaching back to two earlier points in our sentence.
The Baal Chov doesn't take the Shabbat.
Chita Yisrael.
Not that he takes it, and
then I give it. Over the last 2 weeks, right? That was again this whole discussion of joint. A bishul done jointly by Yisrael and Achri, so that we had discussed that. That's for instance in Sevav.
But in a case of Matana, where I don't.
Hafak Yisrael b'Basar, and so on and so forth.
Then you can go after him.
So, he can't take the
Shabbat. Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
In other words, he gets.
But also reached. We had a case of Suffolk Chita. Where were we before? Have a case of Suffolk Chita. This goes back to Sivdalid. Remember, Sivdalid was a discussion of the Shvacha Shalano. Discussion whether there's an Issur Bishul Akum by Shvacha Shalano or not. We have seen four different approaches in Rishonim to why it might be Mutter. One of those four approaches was quoted in the Ramah. Some of the later Chachmei Ashkenaz, Ramah, the top of page of 230, Ramah, the end of Sifdalit. Even the Chachil and Nogin Hakol Beis Yisrael, Shashrachos Avad and Mevashon Beis Yisrael. If you have non-Jews who work for Jews in the Jews' home, cooking food in the Jews' oven, and there's no concern of Bishul Akum. Why? Because for sure, over the course of the however many hours, the chicken soup was on the stove. Even though the Nachri put the chicken soup on the stove, it must be that one of the Jewish members of the household walking by would have poked the fire. And again, as we discussed then, that's not relevant to us because our fire, our gas stoves, electric stoves don't need poking. But once upon a time, when you had coal or wood on the stovetop, yeah, you need to keep poking to keep the fire going. You don't have to maintain your hearth. So that was just part of what you did. You walked by a fire, you poked it, and that way everyone got to give a poke, and that way it keeps going. If there are Jews in the house, and the Jewish family is in the house, even if the Nachri put the pot on the fire, over the course of the subsequent years, for sure someone poked. So the Taz is reaching back, presumably, to that one. Ramah it says of Dalet. There for sure some are supposed. For sure. So Chachil you can let the Nachris put the food on the fire because we know that it's built and baked in. The people can come. So here the Taz presumably has that mind. He said down his mind. He said there was a vada. The language of Efsher. Let's say it's not such an Efsher. It was on the fire for 20 minutes. We're not sure if anyone was even around. It's not clear there else in the house. A real suffix. A real latest on suffix. Shem lechita. I don't have a robe. There sounds like it's an overwhelming robe. I came out. Vada. Here he's saying, let's see if a suffix. So the Taz says that too. That's another example of suffix drabanan lahakam. And it sounds like the opening term that the Taz used, pirush, it sounds like he's trying specifically to interpret which line. The second line in our Rama. Here back in Sif Yudal, the second line. The first line was explaining that the din of the Rashba and the Tur and the Mechaber, and really the diuk of the Gemara, of the Braisa, is based on Sif Yudal. The first reason that the Rashba had given, the one that the Tur quotes. Then the Taz is interpreting the second one. Any suffix. What's any suffix b'shalaka? So he says, oh, there could be other cases. We're in Perish. Chita. What's he adding? Stam, another case. I can think of it. I don't know. It's a suffix whether it was Nachakosh. I know. What's he adding with that case? What's more mechudish then about suffix chita? Why might I have thought that suffix chita maybe should be
else? Right. So everybody's even.
Well, he
may not have cooked it. Okay, so if he did, that's awesome. But why is that more concerning than here? Maybe the Nachri may have taken off 5 minutes after I left, and the whole thing is awesome. Or he didn't, that's much.
In this case, you know for a fact that you put it on the fire. Somebody did something.
Right. Because here there's a cheskas esser. This takes us back to thinking about the Rashba had given two rationales the hakel in his case. In the case of Meniach Yisrael, what did he say? Number one, suffer from the hakel. Number two, why would the Nachri has no motivation to mess it up. He has no gain for being the salad the meat. So what type of, how would you categorize that svara? So it sounds like it's a, why should he remove it? What is that? It's what type of idea? There could be to rove. We're saying chances are, it's not just a suffix, chances are he didn't. Or maybe it's like a cheskas hetter. In other words, the Yisrael put it here. Right now it's on the fire. Do you have any reason to assume that it was removed? No. And maybe it did, maybe it didn't. So it's becheskas on the fire. Becheskas on the fire in terms of physical status, geographical status, and becheskas hetter. And that's what you're saying. Taz's case is for cares. Taz's case is, and maybe that's what you're driving at before, Eric. In the Rashba's case, in the Mechaber's case, if nothing changes, it's going to stay mutter. The Jew put it on. As long as the Nachri doesn't mess it up, the Nachri is passive, it just turns and flips, it's going to stay mutter. In the case of Safek Chita, right now it's on track to be usher. If the Jew poked it, it became mutter. But if nothing happened, status quo, it's on track to be usher. So that's what the Taz is adding. And that's presumably trying to say that's what the Ramah was trying to add. He didn't just say this is Sabran Lakal. Obviously Sabran Lakal is gonna true other cases. No. Every case is not even where it's not so partial. And the Chelk is Binyamin.
The way you would read the Ramah net is in Yiral, if you would think, even if it's in the guy's house, and the Jew like goes into the house a little bit, you may think, oh, maybe he stoked the coals so the Jew could eat the meat.
Right.
But if you're going back to Dalit, it's very specific. It's in the Jew's house.
Correct.
So it's, it,
So this is even more of a chiddush than the. But the Taz wants to bring it back to Dalit. It's really not as much. Don't think it's not. It's really like Dalit. It's in the Jew's house, therefore don't worry.
Oh, good, good. Right, so let me rephrase if I understand what you're saying. You're saying, one second. Isn't the Taz here, again, Taz is interpreting the Rambam Sifud Aleph in a way that's subtly, it's a subtle stira to Sifdalit. In Sifdalit, the Rambam said it's Mutra because Vada Echita. Why do you have to say Vada Echita? The Taz, he understands Rambam here, it's saying even Safi Chita is Mutra. So why do you have to go out of his way to say Vada Echita? Vada Echita Mutra sounds like if it was only a Safi, it wouldn't. So it could be, you'll say. It happens to be, that's the Metzias there, Vada Echita. But there may be more. But there may be more, and I think the Chalkas Binyamin speaks to your point. Chalkas Binyamin points out that when you read this Rambam, there are two problems with it, with the closing line. Number what we've been talking about, which is what's added. Pshita. Once you tell me Sarban Lakal, so why would other cases Sarban Safik Bishalak be different? And there's another phrase which is curious. And Kayotze, what do you mean Kayotze go? Bishalakim and other such cases. What larger set are we talking about? You mean like other Drabanans? Well, yeah, obviously. So he suggests a following. He says, no. Obviously, Rambam means a narrower subset. And he says like this. He says, look, in the Biurim, a very, very pretty piece, the Chalak is Binyamin, I don't know if we've quoted it yet, Lehedya, Binyamin Cohen is Baruch Hashem alive and well. His father, he's Rishag Revival Cohen's son. And the Brakar Davua will be a subsos of Davua's Bekever, particularly since very much Brakar Davua, he patterned his Sefer after his father's Bada Yashulchan, which in turn was patterned after the Mishnah Berurah, to write a Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, what the Chafetz Chaim did to Aruch Chaim. So Fievel Cohen and his son continued to do to pieces of Yeridah, to write a flowing parish. Here it's called Baya Shulchan, or here it's Chalkas Binyamin, and then to have the Biurim, like the Bir Halacha, the longer pieces, and then the Tziunim, the footnotes on the bottom. So here in the Biurim, the very pretty piece where he analyzes this memo, he suggests the following. What does the Chayotzebo mean, and what's the Chiddush? And this comes back to the Taz, and I think we even... I don't know if he points at Eric's Ha'arah, but I think it will be Miyashiv, the Kasha that Eric raised. So he says, Achronim have a discussion. We know there's a rule again, Eben and Hey. We know there's a rule of Safik Rabban Lakal. But Achronim handle, are there limitations to Safik Rabban Lakal? Specifically, let's say in Yeshiva now, we're learning the first Prak of Gittin. We're talking not long ago about the discussion that Eidachan and Bisurin, and the Gemara and Gittin seems to indicate, the Gemara and Vama seems to indicate that Eidachan and Bisurin we know, but Eidachan and Bisurin might not be believed against the Cheskas Issa. I don't know what this is, Kasha Treif, maybe it's Tami's Kasha. If I know this used to be Treif, either Tami's Kasha, not so Pasha that I can believe it. So, in somewhat similar, may not be the same, in somewhat similar fashion, Achronim raised the question, yes, Safir Ban Lahakal, the Habab is a Cheskas Issa. If I don't know what this, if I'm coming with no prior knowledge, so Suffolk Lock. Let's say I know it was us. I know it was us yesterday. I don't know whether it became Mutter or stayed us.
But by
Makonis,
he can't do that.
So he points out the Achronim handle about that.
Is that what
I'm
saying?
Achronim Handel, do you say Savra El Hakel even connected to Cheskas Issa? He thinks maybe that's the Rama's. Maybe with other Deem Drabanan, we would say Safik Lahakel, but not against the Cheskas Issa. Against with the Cheskas Issa, then Safik Lahakel. He says, but Bishalakim is Mutter. And by similar things that are similar to Bishalakim in that they are more Kal. How are they more Kal? So either what Suffolk Bishul Akum is more called than other drabbanos because it's only because of chasnas. The Rashba wouldn't say that, but the Rama would, because we've seen the Rama seen several times the line with the Ra'ah, the Rambam on that. Or if you want to go a Rashba way, say, look, going back to Sift HaZayin, we had the discussion about Kalim. So even the Rashba said it is a Dindra, you know, it's a regular Dindra Banan, it has a, you know, there is Tom Kicker, and they got a Kasha the Kalim. Even the Rashba had agreed in Sift HaZayin, but there are certain kulas built into the way you Kasha. But if you have Cheres, you can do a triple Hagal, it's going to be good. Why? That was based, I believe, Yerushalmi, that when you have a lower level Dindra Banan, we allow Hagal Gimel Pa'amim on Cheres. What's a low level Dindra Banan? Ein lo Iker min HaTorah. It's not a Drabban extension of a Deraisa, it's a freestanding Dindraban. So that's a lower level Dindraban. Even the Rashba agrees that Bishal Akam is Ein lo Iker min HaTorah. It's a new creation of Chazal. Just the Rashba says, okay, they created it as a regular Dindraban, it doesn't depend on the Tom. But the fact remains, it's Ein lo Iker min HaTorah. So at the very least, Bishal Akam is weaker than your standard Drabban because Ein lo Iker min HaTorah. According to the Ra'ah and the Rambam elsewhere, it's super kal because, you know, whenever there's no concern of chasnas, it falls, it's, you know, it's not a low floor. So that's what the Halakha of Binyamin suggests. That's what the Rambam means. Safik Bishal Akam v'chol kayotze bo means Bishal Akam and other similarly lower level Demon Drabbanan, the Ein Lam Ikram and Torah, Safik is Lahako, even connected to Cheskes. Then he's not done. And then he says, let me ask you another question. I will come back to your heart. Here's another question. So, is Sav Rabban Lahaka such a strong reason, in particular Bishal Akam? So, why did the Rashba give two rationales? Sav Rabban Lahaka, that's it then, Sav Rabban Lahaka. So, what do you have to say? And plus, you know, Lamalei, so you could have said, maybe the Rajba is not so sure that we, even by Bishal Akam, who says, you say, Safik, Lahaka, connected Cheskesis. But he makes a different suggestion. He says, you know what's added by saying the second time of Lamalei Lisaluke, why would he have removed it? He says, Sav Rabban Lahako works, but it's very possible, there's also a discussion the post can have, Sav Rabban Lahako might only be a principle of Bidiyavad. I mean, literally, Bidiyavad. The Safik emerged, and now you have a Safik. Okay, so the din is Safik Lahako. But we probably don't encourage you to create a situation of Sav Rabban. If it develops, so the din is the bidiyavad, literally bishasa. Once you have a Safik in your hands, so the din is lahako. But we don't go out of our way to create a Sav Rabban.
So then the whole case of the Gemara is a problem.
Oh, gewaldic! And in fact, the tour who had only mentioned Safik Devarim lahako, his language is, if the Jew did this and he left the non-Jew, I raise that mutter. That's the language of Bidiyavid. However, the Gemara, the Brisa, hadn't said it B'lashem Bidiyavid. If you did it, it's mutter. The Brisa had said, not with a hey, past tense, here's what happened, but amen. Me'niach Yisrael, present tense, meaning you may do this. These are instructions, these are protocols. And the third class on the Chazal. Meniach Yisrael Pasuk Avichal, Veino Choshesh. Meniach, go ahead and do this. Just based on Sav Rabban Lahako. So that's what the Chalak of Yom suggests. Right there. So that's what the Rashba gave two reasons. It's true, Sav Rabban Lahako works. But it only works with Yadav. He gives a second reason to explain. Even the Braisad says, even with the Chathchila, That's because here that not only do you have suffix, we actually have the row, you have the cheskes hetter. Right? We understand that second svara. Why would he has no motivation to? So we ought to assume positively, affirmatively, it is okay. Cheskes, it's on the fire. The rove is he didn't touch him. Oh, now Givaldic. Now,
bang, this is on the list, so Pasha guesses.
Now, this answers Eric's question also, I would suggest. Because earlier, we were Ramah's language explicitly, look back at Sif Dalet. He said, not only is it true that if the Avadim cooked B'dyevet, it's mutter because of the other reasons, but I says, I feel the chatchilo noogin lahakil beis Yisrael, shashvachat avadim bashna beis Yisrael. You're allowed to set up such a situation lechatchilo, a priori. Why? Ki e'ef shishol yechatech me'e ba'ez ma'at. Because it's not suffic. There is vaday. When it's a vaday, so then Ramah says, then it's mutter chatchilo. Now you have an overwhelming robe, kuzuntehe, do it. Masha'ena came here in Sifir Aleph, he's saying, let's say it's not a rove, it's just a suffix, mutter. If it's a suffix, it's mutter. And that's what the Taz would say also. The Taz wouldn't say that it's fine lechatchila to tell the Nachri to do it, and I know I'm not going to know whether I'm going to try, but I may not remember later. No, no, no. You can't arrange, you can't choose to arrange to invite a suffix around lahakal. So here, and that's what Rama is adding. That it happens to be any case, Sadr al-Hakal alone is enough, b'diyevet. Sadr alone is enough, b'diyevet. So if it happens, Sadr al-Hakal. It happens to the Gemara, the Braisa, even says the Chatchila, because we have more of the Cheskes Heter. But Tas says, you don't need the Cheskes Heter to be Mekel. Once it happens, b'diyevet, so then you're Mekel based on Sadr al-Hakal. Earlier, the Ramah had wanted Matzah the Chatchila. So you're right. To allow to set up such a situation, you have to have more than just a suffix drabban lakal. Either like here, the Rajab had explained, we hear it's mutter to set up the situation for the Yisrael to choose to walk away because you have the rove or the cheskes heter of lamalo lasalik. And earlier we were allowed you to set up the situation of chachila of the eved the shofes kedera because We have a rove, overwhelming rove that he's going to stoke it. Okay, so this is the discussion of suffic bishalakim in all of the many different nuances. Mitchem, next time, hopefully we'll reconvene in 2 weeks on Tuesday night. Then we'll be back to Tuesday night. Hanukkah, I think almost every night of Hanukkah could be with Talmidim, either in Yeshiva or here, different groups. High school Talmidim, the boys from YU. Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks, we'll reconvene, which will Mirtz Hashem be our final Chabura on Bishalakim. And then after that, we'll have a couple weeks Mirtz Hashem for a thoroughgoing Chazara. What I'd like to focus on in 2 weeks, tonight we spoke about Sifir Aleph and the discussion about Safek. Next time, I want to focus on the other half of the Maror Makomos, see if from your Beis and your Gimel, it really brings it to your Dalet HaZav as well. And that's two big issues that emerge from the discussion, what seems like a detail about salted fish. Roasting salted fish, seems like a grilled herring. Doesn't strike us necessarily as appetizing, exciting, or common. And yet it actually raises two major issues, one of which is adjudicated in Sif Yud Beis Yud Dalet Hazvav, other adjudicated in Sif Yud Gimel. Well, one is that the fact that this fish was salted means that the subsequent bishul does not aser. Other point is that the fact that Nachri salted does not itself make it aser. That's going to take us to two different directions. And we'll see, it'll allow us to return back to where we began and try to define with greater detail what exactly counts as Nechal Kamo Shehu Chai, which is a very relevant halacha. And it's also going to bring us to the issue of the status of salting. If a Nachri salts, if a Nachri pickles, if a Nachri other forms of food preparation, that's a big, big issue. So four cases to think about. Now, over the course of the next week or two of the Limud, the second half of these Maror Makomos. Chelek Beis. I would say to think about these four scenarios. One is sushi, and specifically, does sushi impact, does the popularity of sushi impact a nachri grilling salmon? That's one question to think about. Another question to think about is there a bishul akum problem in a canning plant? If you have a company doing runs of bishul akum sensitive food, canned, bishul akum, canned potatoes, or whatever it is, canned meat, canned fish potentially. So does the canning process, is that bishul akum sensitive? A third question is going to be hot smoked brisket. If you have a nachri operating, let's say you have a Jew has a setup, or not whoever, you have a mashkiach, you know that the equipment is kosher, you know the meat is kosher, you know the meat is not being swapped off for other ones, but the nachri are handling, you have a nachri experts, they know what they're doing in the smokehouse. And you have Jewish mashkicha make sure everything is kosher. But the nachrim are handling the smokehouse. And the nachrim are hot smoking brisket. So do you need does mashkicha have to light the fire? Is that a bishul akum problem? Or not bishul akum? The whole family say, sounds like bishul akum to me. Maybe not. And finally, so on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of haute cuisine, the hot smoked brisket is microwaved eggs. Eggs are one of the foods. Microwaving usually is not a bishul akum problem for the simple reason that you don't cook in a microwave. We almost invariably use microwaves only to reheat food, so that the food's already cooked. So of course there's no bishul akum. But eggs can be microwaved. As a matter of fact, in some Dunkin' Donuts, that's what they do with the eggs. The eggs come, they have these egg discs, that come from the commissary, but they're raw. They're shaped, but they're raw. And then the staff behind the counter, either they heat the some Dunkin' Donuts, they heat the eggs in a toaster oven or some sort of oven, some or a convection oven, and some of them they microwave them. So that's Taka Shaila, microwaving. So the oven, and here's the thing: if you have an oven, so maybe the mashkiach, you have to make sure the mashkiach turns the oven on. Mashkiach can't turn on the microwave. What does that mean? So you really have to make a call. Is microwaving bishul akum? So those are four cases to think about. Is there a relationship between the popularity of sushi and a situation of a nachri grilling salmon, number one. Number two, a nachri operating a canning plant. Number three, a nachri hot smoking brisket. And number four, a nachri microwaving eggs. Those are four practical cases to think about, and the answers to all of those will emerge from the second half of the Maamar Kama 6 that takes us again Sifim Yud Beis Yud Gimel Yud Dalet Hezvav, and the two issues that emerge, the issue in Sif Yud Gimel is which processes are included in Bishul Akum, and there's a very rich Torah Habayis about that. And then the other question, which is Sifim Yud Beis as well as Yud Dalet Hezvav, is what's the definition of Nachal Kamo Shehu Chai? If things are somewhat, we draw the line, things are somewhat edible raw, so when yes, when not, now you define that. That comes up plenty. We don't necessarily eat these half sour dates or the cases that the Shulchan is calling for the Gemara don't necessarily speak to us. But you know, the sushi and the
But that's what they. When a lot of times that's what they pickle half sour tomatoes.
Ah, okay.
So that's you can get now like the pickle-icious, you can get half sour certain things. Are green. They're not like you wouldn't eat the tomatoes.
Yeah, interesting.
Before they're not ripe yet.
That's interesting. Right. Normally tomatoes, ripe tomatoes are now kosher chai. Right. You see, but they're taking a tomato.
That's what people do with tomatoes that will never ripen.
Yeah.
They pickle them.
At the end of the season, if they have a green tomato and they know it's never going to make it,
you pickle it.
They pickle.
Oh, so that's interesting because that means there was not nechach moshu chai. The nachri is machshu lachila via pickling.
Right.
See the question? And that's olah shulchan lachem. you'll have a, you can have a classy crudité that may include a classy pickle platter you would start have on the table at a wedding next to the enormous centerpiece. There's a tray of pickles that includes sliced pickled tomatoes. So it's not, so it's all shulchan lachem. It's eon echach moshu chai. So do you have the tomato pickling need to be done by a Jew, or can it be done by a nachri as long as you have enough hashgacha to make sure that the ingredients are kosher? It's an interesting question. So yeah, we'll add that to the list. Now I have five cases. Pickled tomatoes. Okay, so we'll have to figure this out. So we'll reconvene B'li Neder in 15 days. 2 weeks from now, the Tuesday after Hanukkah, should be the closing Chaburah. Then we'll have, over the course of January, a chance to chazer. And then you let me know. We could decide next 2 weeks if you want to come back to a Bechina or not. If you feel find that motivating, I'm glad to put it together. If you find that counter-motivating, I'm glad to not put that together. And then we should also figure out, probably over the next 2 weeks, maybe we should come to a decision 2 weeks from now, where we want to go next.